somewhat conservative.
I think maybe.
Betsy says
liberals are kind of fearless.
Fearless, yeah. Huh?
Well, the glass half full, I think what Missy was saying, that's like it's, I mean, it stinks to say it that way, but being
the glass is half full. No.
Optimistic.
Well, the glass was half full, you're not that scared. You're like, that'll be fine.
Yeah, you're both not telling the truth. The glass was empty. They went and got the glass from the neighbor and filled it up with the neighbor's water. And now the water is half full. And then, in order to get the full glass, they go down the road to another neighbor and they ask that neighbor for more water. So now they got a full glass of water because they're sucking off all the neighbor's water. I mean, that's what happens. That's the liberal doctrine right there.
And we know it's going to work out and we make it happen.
Yeah, you know it's going to work out because you don't want to buy your own freaking hose at Home Depot and get your own water, lady. I don't want to give you my water, you know?
I'll share my water next time.
And if you came in illegally, I'm going to give it to you less as much. How's that?
Oh, what's the next question?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, to be or not to be, that is the question, yes? No, I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about, are you liberal or are you conservative? What's behind all that, actually? It is something I think about quite a bit, actually. What makes a liberal? What makes a conservative? Very fascinating column and article in Business Insider. And there's a whole lot of points to this, but one of the ones I really like, I want to bring you to right away. It says, liberals are more likely to describe themselves as compassionate and optimistic, while conservatives are more likely to say they're people of honor and religion. You have to chuckle when you hear that, because you can just size that up immediately, and you start to think of different people in your life, and it resonates. But there are so many things to this. So what's really behind this? And, you know, another thing that's fascinating to me is that when somebody changes from their political party, they go from being a liberal to a conservative, or, well, I don't know if that actually ever happens. Not as liberal conservative, it's actually a Democrat to a Republican, right? Or a Republican to a Democrat, or... Do you know where I'm going with this? Are you confused yet? Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. Well, listen, it is. I mean, this kind of sets up for a very interesting and entertaining conversation, because I often think when you look at a particular party like the Republican Party is, you know, there's this whole movement of conservatism or not. But then when a Republican changes to a Democrat, does that mean they take the conservative stripes with them? Can you take the conservative out of a Republican or a Republican out of conservative, huh? You remember that old commercial? Yeah. Same thing with the Democrats. The same kind of story here. Well, listen, on the show today here, Jennifer Breeden is here. She's the president of Breeden Law International, focusing on legal consultant international polities with a special focus on human rights. Missy Crutchfield is here. She's co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and the Gandhi Global Center for Peace. Sergeant Betsy Smith, police officer for 29 years, a law enforcement trainer for over 20 of those years, and a consultant and trainer to the industry. Ladies, you are the co-host today of a very interesting conversation. This is one I picked because I remember reading the whole article, and it's something I think about all the time. What makes a conservative? What makes a liberal? Which quasi, what makes a Democrat or Republican kind of thing? When you get into the psychology of this, it is a very big conversation, and then you can begin to break down why we're having these problems and these struggles in the nation, and thinking about, you know, well, do I lean more this way or do I lean more that way? We tend to pigeonhole everything, don't we, ladies? Everything has to be put in a box. We got to label you, we got to pack you up, put tape on you, label the box, and that's you, you see? Right, Missy, is that the way that goes, you know, right? We got to label everybody, package you up, put you in a box, and you're this. You spoke out before about that. You don't like that labeling, putting people in boxes business, do you?
Nope.
No. but isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do all the time? But really, there's a psych behind it all, Missy. There's a whole psychology twist to this thing. What in your mind, tell me right with, I mean, you've read the piece, I'm sure, possibly, but regardless, What, in your mind, makes a liberal versus a conservative? How would you answer that?
Well, I think liberals are much more compassionate. That's where we get the term bleeding heart, right? Even though I think that's unfair because I think there's a lot of more moderate liberals, but I think that liberals have, you know, wake up every morning looking at the glass half full or full and look at ways that we can all, you know, try to find harmony or try to find solutions instead of, no, it's my way. I feel like we're much more flexible. I think, however, though, that we give too much credit to the far right and far left as far as numbers are concerned, that I believe most people in their hearts. And when it comes to the polls, I really think that they're more in the center, and that all people want what's best for their country and for their community. So, but liberals get the blame for whenever somebody's, you know, complaining about, oh, it's too easy. Oh, liberal. So, you know, but I think compassion.
All right. So, you know, you started to sound like the Kumbaya Club, you know? I mean,
well, I almost invoked that because we get blamed for that. So I almost took
being the part of the Kumbaya Club. Yeah. Well, listen, you talk about this compassion business. I call it, there's a sucker born a minute. That's what I call that compassion shit. Betsy, you want to speak to that a minute? I believe the liberal, again, I would differ than Missy in that regard, that I think that, you know, there's one thing to be compassionate. There's another thing to lay down in the middle of the road and let people drive a wet car all over you.
This has changed so much in the last, probably in the last decade, even more. There was so much more. Oh, gosh, we could talk about these things up until about the second term of George W. Bush. And then it got, you know, Bush is the devil, Bush is Hitler, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And now if you're a liberal, anybody who disagrees with you is Hitler. And, and you know, Missy's right that there's so much extremism from the far left and the far right, but yet that seems to be what we're seeing as mainstream. As a conservative, I believe that conservatives, you know, we have a much more structured way of thinking. I think we're much more realistic. You know, some people would call us, you know, you see the dark side, etc. No, I see the real side. You know, somebody who's a liberal Democrat, let's say, in where I grew up in the Chicago area, you know, they go, yeah, I'll go down to the South Side and try and help people, you know, and all that. Whereas somebody like me says, well, yeah, you go ahead and go down on the South Side and call 911 when you need help. There's not a lot of realism.
That's you know, I agree with something. Let me just interject this and then I want to hear the rest. But yeah, we're talking about dreamers here. And what would the world be if we did not have the dreamers? So yeah, you may need the realists. Together, we find, you know, our way out of things. But yes, I will certainly take credit for
Missy. When you say dreamers, let's explain. I want to understand what you mean. You're not talking about illegal immigrants, are you? Or you're just talking about people that really do dream. What are you talking about?
Well, it could cover a lot of things.
Well, yes, but that's important how you qualify. You weren't talking about illegal immigration there, were you?
Doctor, I'm talking a lot of things, and yes, the immigration situation included, and a lot of these big dreams and these big hope things, like Betsy's talking about, that, you know, they're more realistic conservatives. Yes, that's probably true, and there's room for both. But the liberals, yes, I think they do come in with more of the visionary, the hope, the dreams, the stuff, and then together we hammer it out of the table and hopefully, you know, find a way that works.
I think that was probably true 10 years ago. I think now, I think, you know, I
it's
think
ugly.
Dr. King, it must be, yeah, it is. That's a problem. It's ugly. And I see, you know, everybody talks about conservatives as, you know, we're mean and we're angry and all that. All of the vitriol that not all of it, but a great deal of vitriol now, and I mean mean vitriol, comes from the left. It's just extraordinary. For example, let's look at the word feminism. What is a feminist? Mm-hmm. You know, that used to be a term that both conservative women and liberal women could embrace. And
it.
Now it's, oh my God, you know, and we can't talk about it because it just all gets mean. That's another thing that's been co-opted. Everything's been co-opted. Well, you know,
yeah,
I own a gun, so I hate people. And you know, liberals are pro-choice, so they hate babies. You know, there's
right,
just all
right,
these extremes,
yes,
you know, that frankly aren't true.
True.
But
right.
I think
well said.
The voices take over, which is why we have the show.
Yeah. That's well said. That's kind of hard to, you put it out there, Betsy, but you're right. Within those rights, we sort of draw these extreme lines, these boundaries, if you will. Jennifer, it has kind of changed over the years. Betsy referenced the second term of George W. When you said that, Betsy, I started thinking back previously to that, and I thought back through the Clinton years, through Bill Clinton, and of course, you know, he was a pretty mischievous fellow, and I was wondering how did, you know, really though, you know, how was we all doing then? And it kind of was a gag. There was a lot of troubles in the country, and there was a lot of scandalous sort of activities and so on and so forth. But I think you might be onto something, because I don't remember the pure hatred at that moment that I see now. This is pure hatred now. I think there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, but it wasn't over the line hatred, maybe. Did something happen around that time, Jennifer, that you can recollect? Or do you think there's anything to this thing as far as the timeline goes that we've gotten, you know, so far off the path of remembering, you know, that we all live in the same country?
Well, I think, I mean, I, you know, you do have a good point. Betsy brought up a great point. And I mean, during the Clinton eras, like you said, or the Clinton era, you know, there wasn't this vitriol. There wasn't the hatred on
right.
either side. I mean,
right.
there was less of that. There were people that were like, oh, gosh, he probably should have been impeached. That was crappy. But we actually don't care that much. Let's go back to our lives. Hey, mm-hmm. let's invite our neighbors over who have a different political opinion than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And there really wasn't. I mean, I do remember those times. I think what happened in the Bush administration. And I mean, I actually don't know, but I know it was the second term of George W. Bush. And I think some of it comes back to, you know, some of these stories that came out that the chemical weapons or having weapons of mass destruction wasn't as far-fetched as they thought. And then there, you know, there are some reports that never really got publicized that he did have chemical weapons there and it was a big deal. But I mean, the story at the time was that there were no weapons of mass destruction. It was just a complete war off of a lie and for the oil and then all of that. And then I think that's kind of the indication, you know, in the latter half of the Iraq war, going into Iraq, going into Afghanistan, going into these places, because that's one thing that Barack Obama ran on, is that I'm going to take us out of all these wars. And
He did. He did.
Some of that happened. And I mean, that's what people wanted. So, you know, I think that's part of it. But I do agree that something has shifted. And I think there's more than just finding out about the wars, finding out about all this stuff. There's something that has shifted really in society, in our communities. And it might be even more far-fetched in that, because I remember hearing an interview that came out with during the West Virginia attack with the KKK guys, the white nationalists, the, you know, whatever, those guys came out. And I remember seeing an interview with one of them, because they're so minority, they're so fringe now, and nobody ever wants to actually be associated with them. But they did come out saying that it was during the Obama era that they started regaining their strength again, and wanted that to regain their strength again, because they started hearing some of the more violent. I know we talked about this on another show, how that in the Black Lives Matter, there are some people that really do want good things, want to respect police officers, just want to be more Martin Luther King-esque. And there's some that are flat out violent and starting riots and throwing things into buildings and screaming hatred slogans. And that's one of the things that this, you know, one guy that I saw interviewed was saying brought him back, was seeing some of these things and those little, you know, feelings inside that he had held down inside then started to come back out. Not that it's an excuse for any of it, but that's all part of what started happening. So it's like the pendulum might have got started with George W. Bush, but now it's swinging so far right and so far left, it's just going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I think there's,
well,
it's
let
hard.
Me do this. I think let's play into this a moment. As you paint this picture, Jennifer, right now, and your explanation of it, I start thinking about, okay, why, how come, what happened, you know, all right, so what's that pivotal moment or point? And you know what I think, and I hear what you say about the lies in the Middle East and so on and so forth. I mean, I get all that. And they all could have a major point to it. But I think, you know, you might want to consider something, ladies, and this is it. when you look right now and you look at, you know what I come back to all the time is this particular point that I always say to you all. We always lead in this country with what divides us and not what connects us. Like, you never see the news come on and say, well, by golly, today the Republicans and Democrats agree we should do this today, and this is going, we're going to solve this problem today. By golly, if that ever came on the 6 o'clock news, you'd fall on the floor and faint and pass out. They'd have to take to the ER, man. You'd be comatose.
It doesn't make for good ratings.
That's
exactly. You know, imagine if we had social media and a 100% 24/7 news cycle in the era of the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. I mean, that was cable
hysterical.
News was just starting, but we didn't have social media. We didn't have, and it would, it would just be,
well, the
it
blue dress thing alone would have been tremendous.
Oh my God. I mean, just, I can't even imagine.
Cigars were fabulous. I mean, they got a whole new life and living. I mean, come on. But I mean, and that poor girl never lived it down. Let's face it. I mean, her life is totally. It's a wonder she's still here with us. I mean, because her life is just somehow she's been able to weather that storm. Well, listen, what I'm talking about with the media is this: the media, the one who benefits by this, or the one who plays into Jennifer. Your point now of what you're saying in all of this. Okay, so work with me on this media business, because that's the one big piece. That's to me the linchpin in this whole thing. Because you see, as Betsy says, that's what they want. Well, it's got to be what they want, ladies, because do you ever hear a program come on and tell you anything good that happened today? It just simply doesn't exist. When you turn any kind of a news program on, it is nothing but lies, deceit, murder, mayhem, rape. Everything you could possibly see that's wrong is on that news. News is defined as is something that horribly has gone bad. You know, something's gone wrong here. That's what it is. That's what news is. News is everything that's bad, everything that's evil, everything that went wrong today. The two political parties fought. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. And that's, but see, here's what you blame this on, ladies. With all of this said, who you blame this on is the American people. They're the ones who are eating this stuff for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, who the hell's eating this stuff? Everybody loves this. So, Betsy, as you sit there and you sit, well, you know, and I got to say to all of you here, and all three of you, I think everybody is part of the problem. Because, Betsy, you sit here and say, well, but, you know, they're doing this and that, Missy says, and then we'll get off the show, you go later on today, and you'll do the same thing. You'll turn those freaking piece of crap channels on and the rest of the garbage out there, because that's what we ingest, and you'll listen to the same garbage and BS. And then we buy into it. Then we get on social media and we start calling each other names. Well, I seen that on CNN. No, Fox said this, you son of a bitch. I can't stand you. And this is what goes on.
Fear and violence and negative media. We're addicted to it.
Everybody loves it.
We got addicted to it during the social media boom. Because we didn't give a crap about it when MySpace was around. Nobody was watching CNN or Fox when MySpace was around. And now that social media, Twitter, Facebook, everything, now that we can go on these ramps and we have our platforms of 15 minutes of fame, now we care about the news because we want to get informed so that we can go onto our little social media platforms and talk about it.
You know, Jennifer, so true.
Be angry about what other people
so
say.
So true. And you know something else, lady? Listen, here's a perfect example. Jennifer, you're going to love this. Listen to me, what you just said. Let me play right into that a minute. Ladies, listen to this. It's so cool. So I'm watching a news channel the other day, like all of you. I flip between all the. I like to get all the channels. I like to listen to what Rachel Maddow is saying, and I love to listen to what Sean Hanbow is saying, and what the next one is saying. A little bit of all this craziness, you know what I mean? It's all extreme viewpoints, right? But so we're on the news channel, and they say, and some psychologist is on, a real brilliant man, and he goes on to say, well, you know, one of the things we need to do is not to show these people's pictures on the news, and we need not to say their names, which is what I've been talking about for freaking years. And he said, well, we shouldn't do that on the news. Yeah, yeah. And the host is sitting there. This really happened. The host is, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, because the psychologist explains in a very educated, diplomatic fashion, far better than I could explain to you right now. He says, well, this is the result of what these people want. And this is what the bad, they want, in other words, they're angry. They want their moment of glory. And they're going to play their glory out to whatever they can play. And they want their name, whatever that means, they want you to know who they are. They want you to honor whoever they are. And these people are angry, sad, sadistic people living on the planet, like this cat that just massacred those 17 souls. These are angry people that are full of hatred and vile and disrespect. And then when you put their name and the pictures are all over the news, and so the psychologist explains in a really diplomatic fashion how wrong this is, and if we as a society would stop doing that, we would be so far better off.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Giving the 15 minutes of fame to a few alleged victims who are screeching out what some people want to hear, and now they're getting addicted to it, and it's just going to be sad. It's the aftermath of this situation, like many, is going to be sad.
Oh, you're so right, Betsy.
And I mean, even some of the stories that have come out, you know, there was one father who was told he couldn't be interviewed on CNN because he didn't espouse the narrative they wanted to bring out.
Right. There's another with attack because he was looking for his kid and he was wearing a Trump shirt, so... Everybody attacked him, and it's just sad.
No, you're so right. I mean, this is all part of the problem here. But you all see what I'm talking about when I say the media here. And by the way, we never stopped talking through the break, friends. So we're still here talking back here. Betsy Smith is here, and Jennifer Breeden, and Missy Crutchfield, and we start talking about this liberal conservative differences, similarities, but it goes further because. What I'm asking here, what I'm trying to understand is what fuels all that. Something fuels all that. And so look at the society we've set up, ladies. You've got the politicians who are seeking the power and the fame, who all go to Washington. Now listen to what we've set up here. The framers are rolling around in the graveyard. You know that. The cemeteries are restless right now from our founders. Because we have all of these politicians, we give fame, fortune, and power to up in Washington. There are no term limits. They can stay as long as they want. They go up there piss poor broke for the most part. We pay them a fairly modest salary. It's not a wealthy. They don't make millions of dollars there. Then you know, make maybe 100.
They make millions of deals.
That's it, sister. Yep. Yeah, they make, you know, they may make a salary of, you know, I mean, maybe it's 150, maybe it's 120, maybe it's 170, whatever it is. It's not means, but you know what, Missy, you're so right. They leave there and they're a gazillionaire. Now, why is that? And then they stay there as long as they can until their dentures fall out of their mouth and they fall on the freaking floor, okay? And you got to take the oxygen tank and hook it up to them again and wheel them out in a wheelchair down the boulevard. So we got that system in play, guys, okay? We got all that crazy stuff going on in Washington. And then we got this Republican-Democrat thing we love to fight about, and that's fun. And Jennifer, you hit it head on a minute ago. Nobody gave a rat's ass when MySpace was doing their thing. You're so right. Social media came alive. All of this stuff happened. And then the media thought, what they seen is like, oh my God, we can like make a ton of money here. Like this thing is going to be great. Like we can screw these people over so bad they won't know what day it is. Like let's just get this machine rolling. And so the news comes on, the camera, the lights come on, Jennifer, Betsy, Missy, and all of a sudden it's like, I mean, what's wrong with this picture, ladies? What's wrong with this picture?
Well, I'm going to say it right now. is that it's hilarious to me that we give any sort of platform to the 13 quote unquote Russian social media people who essentially all they ever were trying to do was just stir up the incitement that we already have, that we already feel, and that the media has been preying on now for years. And now it's like these 13 Russian hackers, blah, blah, blah. My goodness, we've been doing that in the United States. We have started the hatred. And all that is saying that we were too stupid in the first place to not be fooled by a couple social media trolling accounts.
Yeah, that's good, Jennifer.
It's been driving me nuts with this story because it doesn't give credit to any of the American people.
Well, the Russians, I always say this pisses people off, Jennifer, when I say this to the politicos, Jennifer, the smart political people, you know? And when I always say this next statement, like, well, you know who won in this whole thing? The Russians. And they say, what do you mean the Russians won? They didn't win shit. I mean, they get mad. They get mad with me, really, though. Politicos get really mad with that statement. And I say, well, the Russians won out of this. And, well, of course they won, you idiot. I mean, all they're doing is playing into what we put out there. Of course they won. That's what they wanted. What do you think? You think they wanted Washington, D.C.? Of course they just want us to fight like cats and dogs and tear each other's eyeballs out, call each other's names.
They love showing how weak and how ridiculous
exactly.
we are. And that's all they did.
Exactly.
They won.
Exactly.
They didn't care
well, yeah,
in
and
White
we
House.
continue to be this international embarrassment in a lot of ways because of, you know, look at the current situation we're dealing with now. We've got this huge issue where we're talking about gun control when that's not even the issue. And it's all, again, very, very partisan. And people must be looking at us and thinking, what is wrong with you Americans?
Oh, and, they are.
You know, I know. Jennifer, you can speak to that. It is. And
I have Missy.
You know, international law enforcement friends who you know they're texting and tweeting me and all that and saying why aren't you guys talking about the real problem, you know, which in this specific case, the Parkland shooting, is the law enforcement procedures and what happened with the FBI and all that kind of stuff. It's like, are you stupid? Why are you talking about the NRA? But it's, you know, again, liberal or conservative, we're all driven by what's right in front of us, the shiny object. And it just becomes ridiculous.
And, you know, on that line of what Betsy was saying, because I know the three of us have had experiences and have contacts in the Middle East, too. But a story came out in Yemen a couple of days ago that there were ISIS guys, there were ISIS fighters. There was a lot of them, and they had serious weapons about to go to this. There was a counterterrorism office there, and they were trying to attack it. They could have taken out about 200 people. I mean, it was a big planned thing. And the way that the breaking story went, and then one of my contacts had written me about this, the way that it went was that these guys started coming up, and the Yemen police officers who were guarding the place saw these guys. They knew right away it was ISIS. They thought it might have been, they knew it was ISIS. They knew it was some kind of extremist. They didn't know ISIS. They knew it had to be an Islamic extremist. And I mean, these are Muslim police officers in Yemen. They knew it had to be an extremist. They knew what they were likely going to do. And they, quote unquote, liquidated all of them. And so, yes, 14 people still died, but it could have been 200. They just got rid. And that was the difference in some of this that came out, because that's how things are in the Middle East is, you know, that's how we see things. Things aren't politicized to that extent, despite what we see. I mean, maybe, of course, it's different in, you know, Israel-Palestine issues, things like that. But I mean, in places like Yemen and other countries, there's no politics. There's extremists, and then there's normal people who just want to live their lives. Yeah. And they're going to take out the extremists before they kill innocents.
Well, and there's a certain amount of collateral damage there that people are willing to accept. In the United States, you know, no collateral damage. I mean, we just can't have it. And so things are done very differently. And that's, you know, it's making me sick as I'm watching all these so-called law enforcement experts talk about police procedure and all that. There was a CNN analyst yesterday who got on and said, well, we can't have female teachers carrying concealed weapons because where would they put them, on their dresses or their skirts? This was an assistant FBI director. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
But, you know, so I look at all this dopey stuff coming out now, and it's making me insane. And again, now this is police procedure has turned into a left and a right issue and a liberal and a conservative issue. And it's, again, it's total insanity.
And the media is going to eat that up all day long, Betsy.
And you know
that's
what?
Exactly,
I want to add this in and see what you guys are saying. Malcolm, you too. But like with Missy and Betsy on, because I was actually, I'm going to be honest. I stopped watching a lot of our news outlets a while ago. Sure. because of where I've been, where I've lived, where I've traveled, yeah. and the things that I get, it just, I can't do it anymore.
Yes,
but now that I'm, thank you. And now that I'm married, but I have to sometimes. But now that I'm married, like I'm married to a guy who does news. So sometimes he'll have it on and in the background. And there was actually on Fox on Sunday, I forget who it was, but he had on one of the fathers of one of the victims, and I felt so bad for this guy. He had him on, and then a girl who I'm sure Fox News loves. She had the little emo glasses, really pretty blonde girl, really well-spoken. Yep. I was like, she's going to get a Fox contract next week, guys. Just watch. But anyways, but they had this girl who's 18 years old from the high school. She was a survivor, and then a father of somebody who was not a survivor. And I loved hearing the father. I mean, it was painful for my husband to hear, but I loved hearing him because he wasn't well-spoken. He didn't have a point. He didn't have a political point. The only thing he knew he had to get across was, I am so tired of being on these shows, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, because I have a dead kid and talking about gun control. Stop it. Don't start talking about political issues. I don't want to talk about it. And he was yelling, this is a Fox interview. And he was just, he went off on it. And I kept wanting him to kind of get out. Okay, what is it that you do want? And at the end of the day, he finally just said, I just want to know our kids are safe, whether that's trained law enforcement, whether that's somebody there, whether that's not being afraid to protect our children, just know that they're safe. He's like, I'm so tired of you people, every news outlet in America, trying to get my political opinion out of me. I'm not going to do it. And he went off. And I just watched this guy, and I felt for him because you saw that pain. Yeah. It was one of the shows on Sunday, and it's just, you saw that pain in him. I'm sure they have it on Google, but it's but that's where the American, I think a lot of the American people are there. Yes. And where it's just, we don't even know what to say anymore. We're not analysts. We're not experts. We don't go on and talk and have our point already, you know, written out for us. It's just, please don't talk to me about my political beliefs. Please just protect my children.
Well, and we're not memorializing these people in the way that we should be. You know, there were so many heroic people, you know, heroic. There's a heroic coach and some heroic kids, you know, a couple who were killed and several who lived. We're barely talking about any of that. All we want to talk about is you know, the issues of the left and the right, and the, you know, and then like Malcolm said, and then we want to glorify the shooter who unfortunately is still alive. So we're going to have this stupid kid in our face for a freaking decade probably.
That's right. He's alive because the Broward County Sheriff's Office did a horrible job. I mean, nobody took him out.
He is. But he's also alive because he didn't have his gun on him when the Coral Springs police officer confronted him.
But they should have shot him well before then. Mm-hmm. He should have been taken out. That's my point. You know?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, again, they didn't go in. He knew enough to drop the gun and leave it, you know, somewhere. But you can't just... Mm-hmm. Can't just kill somebody if they don't have a weapon.
I don't agree with that.
That's the law, though.
Yeah, he broke the law. He changed those rules when he went into the school, Betsy. Mm-hmm. So in that case, there are no laws.
Let me just talk about that for one second, because here's one of the things. We have got all these people on the left that are talking about, you know, why didn't the police go in? And even our liberal sheriff, Israel, who said, well, he should have gone in and killed the killer. We never use that terminology in law enforcement. We do not go in to kill. We do not shoot to kill. We go in to stop the threat. And yet he says, we should have killed the killer. So the left is, you know, they've been calling us since 2014 and before, you know, we're murderers, we're racists, we're killers, take our guns away, take all our long guns away, take our SWAT stuff away. Now all of a sudden, people want killer cops. The left wants killer cops. So which is it going to be? Do you want a cop that'll go in and kill, or do you want a cop that'll sit and chat?
Well,
there's the thing. So it depends.
It depends.
So, you know, the Broward County Sheriff's Department, what was their training lately? They were doing most of their training of their deputies to train them in things like implicit bias and de-escalation. Each deputy spent 4 days recently on de-escalation training. How much active shooter training? Not so much.
Well, what I was going to say, Missy, what typically a liberal would say to what Betsy just said is they would say, well, it depends. Betsy, is the victim, the perpetrator, is he black or is he white?
Well, Malcolm, no.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what would happen.
I'd put money on the fact that Missy respects our law enforcement and knows that not all police officers are bad and appreciates our law enforcement training.
Absolutely. Most of our officers are good. And I've kind of stood up in some conversations with some folks that, you know, we don't allow in our center police officers armed or in uniform in the center. And I'm, you know, I don't know that that's a good policy. Hello. And then when they have an issue, who do they call first? They call the cops. So, you know, I mean, it's like, let's not be hypocrites. Let's really think
through. But they are hypocrites, Miss
Blanket.
But they are hypocrites.
Everybody has their moments in the extreme sides of hypocrisy. You can find hypocrisy on the right. You can find hypocrisy on the left. What we need to do is just be a little more realistic. We need to stop blaming police for all the problems. We need to stop blaming.
Well, they've been doing that since Ferguson. I mean, that's been the whole narrative.
May be some disagreeing on the conversations in Ferguson, because I drove down there a couple of days afterward and looked around and talked to some people and went to some church services and spent Thanksgiving there. And I think there's more discussion on different levels, but that's past. But there, it's I don't know, what a show that we're not going to have because it's in the past and so many other things have happened since then. But we've got to talk. Yeah, we've got to talk about guns. We've got to talk about stop blaming the police for everything. We've got to talk about the FBI and how to keep our communities safe. And
I got to say, I always love it when it comes out that way, Missy. And like when you said moments ago, and I hear this statement a lot, ladies, when they say, well, you know, there are some good cops. And Jennifer, you said that a moment ago, too.
Most cops are good.
Well, most cops.
Most.
Other human being in the world.
What I wanted to say back to you all is that, do you know, there are some good babysitters too, and there are some good auto mechanics. I know there are some good lollipop people as well, and there are some bad ones.
I will say that most lawyers are bad though.
I was going to say, Jennifer, now that's an industry. Jennifer, that's an industry that's hard to say. Jennifer,
she's the needle in the haystack.
That is a hard, now there's one industry you have to do the reverse. You really do have to say.
I'm actually in the process right now of getting a lawyer disbarred in a state I just moved because of unethical conduct and bullying members of the community that aren't educated in a farming town. I am over these lawyers.
Cool. I'm over these lawyers. I love it.
Side heavy farm country, you know, northern Wisconsin. And I have never seen behavior by one lawyer in specific. I mean, screaming at people and clients and depositions, but taking advantage, taking all of their money, making it up so they have a case when they might not find any resolution. And there are a lot of lawyers that do that, and people don't know they have the right to basically contact the Capitol and get them disbarred. I mean, I can do it a little bit better just using the right words.
Well, that industry has legalized thievery. I mean, come on. I mean,
people don't know that you always have rights against lawyers, against anything else that might, you know, be bad, whether it's mechanics or something else. You know, sometimes we just don't know that we have the rights or that there are other bodies that will look at that situation and say, hey, you're not being treated right. You're not being treated fairly. And that's okay. And I think that was one of the big problems when this stuff on police officers came out was that, my goodness, there are so many, and Betsy can talk to this, there are so many facets of, you know, there's not just internal affairs, but there's also other government agencies and places and police chiefs. And, you know, there's this whole hierarchy where you have to abide by a very strict code of conduct and training and things like that. And we came out with all this rhetoric against police officers as if there was absolutely, they were just running wild and there was no system of which to do anything without trusting that we have set up a very good, well-trained program. Better than lawyers get trained. I'm going to say that much.
Well, it's very rare you would walk into an attorney's office and sit down and the attorney would come over, put their hand around your back and say, I got your back. I got your back, fella. Don't you worry. No, we'll give you a discounted rate for the hourly rate here. No problem. I mean, you know, it just simply...
Well, no, they'll put their hand on your back. They'll just charge you for it.
Well, no, they'll put your hand in the back as it slides down into your wallet.
The problem is hearing what your claim is and saying, look, I'm sorry, you know, I'd love to take your case, but you just don't have a case and you're going to lose. And I'm not going to take thousands of dollars of your money if you don't, but I can give you some advice on how to maybe try to resolve this in mediation or something else. But we're not doing that these days. We care more about money. So we're like, okay, we can make this up.
We can make
this
happen.
And I think when we look at, you know, we're talking about liberal and Democrat or liberal and conservative and all that. Let's look at all our politicians on both sides or all sides. What did most of them do for a living? They were lawyers. You know, we have a country run by lawyers.
That's it, Betsy. You're so right, Betsy. And in fact, that's why they all are the way they are. You know, Betsy, we should have a new law. I got an idea for you. Here's what you pick up on what you just said. Let's put mandate this now that you can't have an R or a D near your name. And we're going to have a law that says you can't have an R or a D near your name. You know how we'll piss them all off, ladies? We'll make them all independents.
Well, you know what? To this point, to Betsy's point, you know, for a while there in Tennessee, the top two professions in the Tennessee General Assembly, our legislature, were lawyers and funeral directors. And if you look at all the crazy rules and laws that have to do with what you have to spend and how you have to bury people, blah, 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 it's also, we need to just kind of do a poll and look at the professions that have, that elected officials are, and then look how screwed up that, that the laws are and the things that the citizens have to deal with, because they're looking at it as a hammer and a nail, and how it can go in their pockets.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Miss. I mean, both of you, you know, this is just, it is exactly what it is. And when we look at some of these laws coming out, that 400 page pieces of legislation, it's because we haven't been trained in law schools or communities. We haven't been trained as lawyers here in the United States to think like, okay, so now we know how to, you know, help other people, or we don't really care about ourselves. No, we have these crippling student loan debts. And then we think, okay, I just want the power, so let me go create the laws themselves. Yeah. And I mean, even to the point where we have like lax ethics rules for people that work in Washington. So if you're working in the legislature, if you're creating the laws, there's actually a sliding door where when your party's out of office, you can go back in the private sector and fight and argue in court on the very same laws you just helped create.
Yeah, Missy, I've been wanting to ask you this question all day here, Missy, and just answer me, if you will, what this is here. Do you like to look, are you okay to look at vomit, feces, or blood?
Well, you know, I'm a mother, so
I told you, she's a liberal. She looks at vomit, feces, and blood.
Sometimes with people, it's either one or the other. Some people
not
okay
so
with feces,
much.
And some people with vomit.
Vomit
is tolerable.
Feces and blood. Oh, my. Vomit, feces,
Malcolm,
and blood. Oh, my.
You better explain why you're asking.
I know. I'll do that right after the pause here. We'll be back.
We're coming after you.
We'll be back. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a gender thing, or is it? That's the way it is, Betsy. Hey, we're back. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. We are here. We are peeling this onion pretty good. So much that I think we all have tears in our eyes, possibly, here. Missy Crutchfield is here. Jennifer Breeden and Sergeant Betsy Smith is here. And so we're talking about this whole... We've gone down a few rabbit holes here, actually. And it's not even an Alice in Wonderland flick. How do you like that? But we are talking about the liberal, conservative sort of... And I think we've exposed some interesting things, and one is culprit evidence number one is the media, how they play into it. We've also exposed the fact that Jennifer works for a kind of a, you know, really unscrupulous industry there, such with attorneys. She's an attorney. And we kind of identified that one as well. We also identified that liberals love vomit, feces, and blood, which is truly amazing.
Goodness. Oh, stop.
And they are all edginess. She says, stop it. Oh, stop it, please.
Oh,
well, that's one of the items on this.
Women by gender can handle a whole lot more, evidently, than
men. Well, I don't know. All right. Well, I've got interesting piece here in Business Insider, friends, and it is scientists have discovered the key psychological differences that can make you liberal or conservative. Very interesting. And they get into the psychology of it all. Funny thing is, Jennifer, they mention here the Russian bots as well in this story, that those widening differences you talked about earlier on social media was an attempt to drive us further apart, and they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. Clearly, the Russians are partying.
That's because we were already there. All they did was give us some Gatorade as we inched toward the finish line of that total separation.
No, they did. We were sort of already headed there, and that's compliments of Missy's idol, Barack Obama, over the last 8 years. Did a fabulous job of uniting the country.
Oh my gosh! Stop picking on the Obamas.
Obama, oh blah blah, whatever.
That's, you know, look
and
what
George
we got
W.
now.
As well. As Betsy said,
thank
George,
God, look at what we've got now.
It happened on George W.
We
yeah.
got a lot of hate.
That's we were just talking really about bad, too many
and really
lawyers,
bad tweets, Betsy, and really bad tweets.
The problem with
lawyers in Washington, and we finally brought a non-lawyer to Washington.
The problem you don't like Trump is he tells you what street corner to get off and what intersection to take, and you don't like that. That's the problem. All right, really. You'd rather be lied to.
I don't dislike everything he does, and I absolutely respect the presidency, but all my right, gosh, cool. I just wish he'd get a little more couth.
Well, he has had couth in the last couple of weeks. I haven't seen any bad tweets, actually. Let's see if you can believe that. He might be on a roll. You never know. In this article in Business Insider, so what do you believe in all this? Let me give some of this rubbish to listeners so they know what the hell we're looking at here, okay? So the first one says being scared can make you more conservative. Let's go through these quickly. Do you all agree with that or disagree real quick? What do you like?
I think it's called being a realist.
A realist. Mm-hmm. You agree, Missy?
What was it again? I'm sorry.
Being scared can make you more conservative.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe, yeah.
Betsy says
liberals are kind of fearless.
Fearless, yeah.
The glass half full, I think what Missy was saying, that's like it's, it stinks to say it that way. But being
the glass
scared,
is half full. No.
Optimistic. Liberals, the glass was half full, you're not that scared. You're like, that'll be fine.
Yeah, you're both not telling the truth. The glass was empty. They went and got the glass from the neighbor and filled it up with the neighbor's water. And now the water is half full. And then, in order to get the full glass, they go down the road to another neighbor and they ask that neighbor for more water. So now they got a full glass of water because they're sucking off all the neighbor's water. I mean, that's what happens. That's the liberal doctrine right there.
And we know it's going to work out and we make it happen.
Yeah, you know it's going to work out because you don't want to buy your own freaking hose at Home Depot and get your own water, lady. I don't want to give you my water, you know?
I'll share my water next time.
And if you came in illegally, I'm going to give it to you less as much. How's that?
Oh, what's the next question?
Yeah, exactly. On the other hand, feeling safe and endowed with strength might make you lean a little more liberal than you otherwise would.
Well, see, you got to dive into that whole the survey of the study of the all that on that particular point. And basically what that is it's.
It means
I read
Big
that
Brother's got
dependent.
You. It's all it means is Big Brother's got you, Betsy. It's like, well, you see they got a Superman guy there in the picture.
See, I feel good, you know, I'm going to lean liberal good. On that one. I feel good because, hey, the government's going to take care of me or somebody else is going to take care of me.
That's it.
You know, I don't feel good. See, when you're conservative, you don't particularly feel good about the government. And frankly, I don't
you
think
don't.
Anybody should feel good about
Well, I agree with you, sister. But listen, when you're you're stealing water from the neighbors, it doesn't matter.
But
you see?
It's important that if I'm going to be the liberal on the show, I'm agreeing with Betsy. I don't feel good about government either.
See?
Amen.
And but I think conservatives are more logical and realistic. And that's why in the United States, you know, conservatives tend to be more constitutionally based. And I think that was some of the strict constitutionalists and some of the strict conservatives were not so thrilled with Trump in the beginning because he was kind of all over the place and they felt like, well, wait, this guy was a New York liberal, so how is he going to be a conservative for the country? And they, by using their logic, they didn't like him. That's why we had the Never Trumper movement. Now people are coming back around and you know, so it's got to be, you know, I think we're more based in logic. I think liberals are more based in, you know, wow, the world's a great place and everybody's going to love each other until they don't love somebody. But I do think that's true.
Well, Trump was kind of co-starring in a vaudeville show there. He was walking on stage, Betsy, with a cane and a hat. Dun, 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 dun. I'll be whatever you want me to be today.
And that's why both people on the left and the right both, you know, fell for him. And I think, you know, his popularity is up to 50% now. And I don't think that's just conservatives. I think it's a new kind of belief. Where, you know, gay marriage is a perfect example. You know, anybody who, you know, wants to call themselves a conservative is supposed to be all against gay marriage and all that stuff. But that's just not true. That's kind of a meh issue anymore.
Exactly.
For a lot of conservatives, you know, we're like, whatever.
It's become mainstream. It's a mainstream conversation, really, you know. Look at this next one. Liberals tend to follow the wandering gaze of others more often. In other words, they're distracted, which is why they can't pay attention. While conservative eyes stay more focused on the original subject they're looking at. What do you think of that, Missy?
I'm sorry. I was hearing bling, 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 sparkle,
exactly.
Sparkle,
you forgot what I said. I get it. I get it. You've asked me three times already. What did I say? So I totally get that, sister. I'm on it. You don't even need to explain that one again here.
Right.
All right. Next one. Holding conservative views seems to make people more resistant to change and help them explain inequality. What do you think of that one? Holding
well, when you're a conservative, you have we have principles that don't change. I think one of the things we're seeing now is I'm getting a kick out of these, and it's not just Democrats, but you know, we're getting a kick out of like Dianne Feinstein 20 years ago was talking about we got to keep illegals out of California and all this, and you know, it's like, wait, what? And so liberals are more flexible because they change more with whatever's going to fit their agenda. Whereas conservatives, again, we go back to the Constitution. We go back to specific values. A lot of times, you know, Judeo-Christian values. And, you know, we're supposed to stay pretty consistent. That's one of the problems we have in Washington right now. That's why Trump's our president, because conservatives are so pissed off at the Republicans in Washington, D.C., that we're like, well, you know what? We're going to elect the disruptor. You know, I don't like any of them. And I think most conservatives would say that they're every one of them in D.C.
Well, conservatives, you know, that would be not Republicans. And that's the difference.
And a lot of liberals are going to say that things like the Constitution, even the Bible, are living, breathing. They were written to be to tell stories, to inspire and transcend through time. And what we've done is we've kind of boxed them and killed them. And that so you've got the people that want to verbatim and literally versus the people that want to reinterpret and bring in the discussion, reinvigorate the topic. So, you know, that's I think that's really at the core of a lot of what's causing
now, I want to add another bullet point to this list here. Liberals tend to talk sometimes and you don't know what the hell they're talking about. Son of a bitch, I don't know what you just said. I have no idea what you just said, but let's move on to the next one.
You know, you're hearing more and more. Let's look at the Second Amendment. Let's look at the First Amendment. Let's look at the Constitution, right? So, you know, good, let's do look at it instead of just say it says this and kill it and end of story. And, you know, we have a government that's a living, breathing body. So why don't we, you know, revisit what these things mean and
what
and
you're
look
talking
at
about is the Second Amendment. You want to revisit the Second Amendment and you want to kill guns. That's what you want to do. That's what she wants to do. I get it now. Finally, the truth. Lord, Savior, finally the truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Finally the truth.
The Constitution is not a living, breathing document. It is set in stone, just like the Ten Commandments.
Well, I guess that's where the courts come in. But Jennifer, I think that this conversation would need your input on it as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is... It is tough. I mean, I was not trained. I don't believe this. I did love my law school because they would teach us the letter of the law as not changing. This is what it is. This is what the cases have done, this and this. But here are also the political opinions, and they would give us both sides. That's why I love my law school so much. And so I do believe that it is, it's not a living, breathing document. It was written, if you read some of the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist papers around the time of the Constitution signing by the authors of it, some of the reasons for why certain things were added to the Bill of Rights were because they wanted it. They knew that life would change. They knew that things would change in the future. And it wasn't that the Constitution would be a living, breathing document, always changing and molding with the times, but it was that it would fit to encompass different mediums, different ways, because the first 10 amendments are a Bill of Rights. Those are the things we're allowed to do, not the things they're supposed to be the things that the rights that we're given, the rights bestowed upon us, freedom from, you know, unwarranted or unlawful searches and seizures, freedoms from, you know, restrictions on our speech and things like that. So those were meant to be more broad in order to give us more strength in our freedoms rather than giving the government more strength in putting them away.
But the amendments, then it kind of became that as the amendments were added and things were added, and that did sort of equal that breathing, living, did it not?
It It did and it didn't. I think there are some different ways that the Constitution and the living, breathing aspect is actually put in. For some, it's actually defined as you can change it whatever you want with the item of the day. But amendments are very hard to pass. So, for example, slavery amendments or slavery aspects. The reason that it was legal when the Constitution was first passed was because they needed all the signatures. So the framers of the Constitution, who did not believe in slavery, knew that they weren't going to get the votes in order to pass this Constitution to create the United States of America. So they had to let those guys have their way with slavery. And then those were taken out later with the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. So it was mostly about more, the amendments actually went to more freedoms for people. For example, the right of women to vote, ages, things like that. And then maintaining that we have our age limits, our term limits, and those kinds of things, because it was always about, the Constitution was always about, this is the American experiment. We're not going to let happen here what happened in Great Britain, what's happened all over the world. So it was about keeping this place as different and set apart. The living, breathing, sometimes that is. And if you read some of them more, like, these are very far leaning, and I can't even say right or left, because these are just people that that go with that, talk about how it's how it can change every day depending on what's going on. And that's not the point of it. It was never the purpose, even of the amendments. The amendments were a way to say, okay, we've realized now that women aren't having the rights that they should have, so we're going to change that. Okay, we've realized now slavery is illegal. We're going to make that national, and we're going to keep going forward with that. Same thing with acts and laws like the Civil Rights Act. So instead of adding amendments to the Constitution, they started passing more laws in order to uphold those rights.
Now, you know, I often wonder, Jennifer, if the framers could see us now, what would they say? I wonder if they could see us now.
Can't
really,
even
though.
Imagine.
I know. If they could
like,
right? Really,
like, we wrote a Constitution that was like 20, 30 pages long, maybe, but like barely that. What are these 400, 500, 8,000 page documents of legislation? What is wrong with you people?
Well, that's it. They would look at it all and they would say, what? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Well, I mean, and you're right. And some of these bills are, they're thousands and thousands and thousands of pages long that they don't read, that the political parties push through the system. So it's a pretty disruptive program. Take from this show this. The one big denominator here, I think, is that if the public purview allows all this and accepts all of this disgust and this fighting in the media that has jammed all of this down your throat, then basically we got what we deserve. And, you know, we've allowed this all to happen. And so, listen, I think a lot of us are watching less and less of the garbage. I think most intellectual people have tuned it out. I don't enjoy a lot of that garbage. I can't do it. In fact, I get really uptight. And you know what's even worse is when you see the same characters spewing the same garbage day after day or week after week, and you know what they're going to say before they ever say what they say. That, my friends, is a sign that you've been in the sun too long. You don't have your lotion on. You're being burnt to a crisp, and it's time to get the hell out of Dodge. And on that note, it has been a fabulous conversation today with you. I hope you take something from this in your glory, and I hope you have a jump in your step. As always, it has been a pleasure here with the Liberal Conservative Doctrine. I don't know. Come back 20 years, we'll be talking about the same shit. Sergeant Betsy Smith, Missy Crutchfield, Jennifer Breeden. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued. You can count on that.